Venerable Bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, the subject of the discourse today is how one, with his development within, gives up the fetters which tie him down to a life of births and deaths. These fetters are divided into two groups according to their activity. The first five fetters are known as Orambhagya Sanyojana, which means that the first five fetters press you down to a world life. And those five fetters are belief in a person, in a being in you, Sakkāya-ditthiya, doubt, and the pursuit of practices to the extremes. And also you have the two very strong fetters, attachment and aversion. These five fetters tie you down to the earth, fix you down to the earth. They are the five upper fetters which push you towards the pure abodes, and they are belief or attachment to the form world or formless worlds. There is ego, there is restlessness in the mind, and ignorance. When I say ego, it tends us to compare yourself with another, and then whether you are an equal or below another or above another, that sort of thing. More ego than anything else. These are five fetters which drag you to the five pure abodes. An explanation is necessary here. Thus, we refer to a worldly life when we consider the different luminous worlds, the six deity worlds, the human world, the animal world, the four hell worlds. There are 31 such worlds. And you associate yourself with these worlds. This such time you gain your third stage of development, that is, non-returner. In these worlds, desire plays a vital role. Karma too plays a vital role. Without desire, there is no karma. Good karma is that which is committed without any attachment to aversion. Bad karma is you commit the act with an aversion or an attachment. Now, in our path to liberation, we generally develop three things as an essential need in you. And those three things are virtue, concentration, and wisdom. In the Eightfold Path, virtue refers to the three things as right speech, right conduct, and right livelihood. In regard to Samadhi, you refer to right effort, right mindfulness, and right Samadhi. In regard to your wisdom, you have the right view and the right thoughts. This is how the division takes place. But you summarize this into three categories, that is, virtue, concentration, and wisdom. These are the essential things, basically, for you to follow the path. After you have equipped yourself with these requirements, you are virtuous, Yeah, develop your mind to the four absorptions, first absorption, second absorption, third absorption, the fourth absorption. And then also you have developed your wisdom in the way of realistically understanding impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things and the soullessness. In certain people there are doubts whether this one-pointedness or samadhi need be developed to that fourth absorption. There, we have no alternative except to accept what is given in the four foundations of mindfulness. Where Buddha defines the Eightfold Path and defines samadhi at the first absorption, second absorption, third absorption, and the fourth absorption. So when he refers to Samma Samadhi as a state of mind that should be developed, then one proceeds along the path, taking the definition given by Buddha in the four foundations of mindfulness, we direct the yogis or devotees to develop their mind from the first absorption, second absorption, third absorption, and the fourth absorption. There is a purpose one can think of by developing the mind to the four absorptions. It gives you depth in the mind. It gives you clearness in the mind. It builds up ability in your mind to pierce into a thing and understand the truth. When you think of the three realities one has to develop within one, they are all qualities of any component thing, not found at the surface but found in depth. Therefore you must arm yourself with a mind that can pierce into a thing and realize these three truths. Impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things, the soullessness. What is found on the surface in all things, all component things, is just permanence, satisfaction, and the soul continuity. Therefore, the definition given to Samma Samadhi in the Sutta preached by Venerable Sariputta Satchavibhanga, and now it's in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutta preached by Buddha. The Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the four absorptions are a requirement. If you do not have these absorptions, if you have not reached your mind to the fourth absorption level, realization is difficult, brothers and sisters. Some tend to skip it and say, oh, I will go through vipassana, insight knowledge. On the subject I dealt, on meditation or developing your samadhi, I explained to you the discussion a Brahmin had with Buddha. Where Buddha clearly stated that it was after he had read the 8th Samapatti that he managed to get rid of feelings and perceptions, which qualities are absolutely of no value, misleading, and with such qualities in your mind, there is no possibility for that mind to realize the truth. Therefore, Buddha said that he realized the truth by transcending his mind to a state when there was this experience of giving up these two qualities of feeling and perception. That's Nirodha. That indicates there are four stages your mind develops to fruition level of the truth. That's the level Arahat maintains. And each of those stages, you give up certain fetters and you take necessary steps to remove those fetters from your mind. Today's discussion will be on these. What fetters you have to remove at the stage of stream entry and how do you propose to remove them? What letters you have to remove at the age of once returner and non-returner, and what steps you should take to remove them. Likewise, in the attainment of arahatthood, what you propose to develop in your mind so that you finally cleanse the mind of all fetters and gain your liberation. These have to be learned by you. Not only the development of one-pointedness in your mind is an essential quality for the attainment, but the manner you approach to get rid of the fetters, the exercises that you have to perform in getting rid of the fetters, but one by one you perform those exercises and get rid of the fetters and qualify yourself to first the stage of streamment, second the once returner, third the non-returner, and fourth the attainment of arahatthood. That is the path we follow. Some may say generally, considering everything as impermanent, unsatisfactory and soulless, one could cover up all these things, but the easy approach is, for instance, if you have three fetters to overcome before you attain streamment, then you attack those three fetters. Overcome those three fetters by specific steps taken to get rid of them. And when you come to a question of attaining the second stage, where you have to get rid of thoughts that promote desire and attachment or aversion, promote desire and also thoughts of attachment or aversion, then you take positive steps to get rid of such thoughts of attachment or such thoughts of attainment, to cleanse your mind of these two things. And finally, at the stage of non-returner, the steps you have taken to attain the once-returner stage, you pursue further. But ultimately, by the time you become a non-returner, you have got rid of thoughts of attachment or thoughts of aversion. Then of course, to attain the state of arahatthood, you are devoted your entire attention to the clearing your mind of false views, false beliefs, and also bad habits which you have created. Some of them are I, mind, and the belief in a soul, continuity. These have to be dealt with by you, so that you develop your mind along a certain particular line of development, overcoming these fetters one by one, and ultimately purifying yourself for the attainment of Nibbana. These you must know. Without a proper understanding of these, there is no possibility of an attainment. Today I shall deal with the three defilements, or fetters I should say, which you have to overcome for the attainment of stream enterer. Let us presume that you have developed your virtue well. For that purpose, even the five precepts is enough, but without committing a breach or any higher virtues like the eight precepts and the ten precepts, that is sufficient for the purpose. Then, there are the three fetters that press you down to the worldly way, and these three fetters are the belief in a person through the pursuit of the five grasping groups, then doubt about Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha and various aspects of the Dhamma, and the third is pursuit of various cults, practices, not in keeping with the development of the mind along the path for your liberation. Now, the first fetter is the belief in the being in you. According to Buddhist philosophy, it is clearly indicated in the realization of what suffering is, that Buddha gave instances of suffering and also said ultimately, If we summarize suffering, it is the five grasping roots. What did he indicate by that? According to the philosophy of Buddhism, there is no being in us living. It is a delusion created by the mind. And you live in that belief. And that belief is known as a sakkāyadiṭṭhi. False belief you have developed it in you pertaining to the form you bear as the form which is yours as a being. This entire false concept is created around your form, sakkāyadiṭṭhi. That is so-called being's form. Then that's yourself. And it is a false belief. This false belief has made you to continue with the life in a worldly way. It is essential for the development of yourself along the path that you must get rid of this false belief. This false belief is around yourself. The so-called being within you is the being in your form, in your physical body, so to say. He is the being. And you believe that there is a being like that in you. So much so that you come to the wrong conclusion that your six sense bases are the activities of this being. Once you have developed your mind to the fourth absorption level, and you have understood properly what is impermanent, what is unsatisfactory, and what is without soul, then you divert your attention to the development of inside knowledge. To get rid of this false belief of a being living in you, we advise the devotees to analyze their conduct, behavior. We explain to them that thought is the forerunner of all actions. They must carefully observe every activity of theirs. And they realize that a thought arises and the body conforms to that thought in the way of committing an act. In all activities committed by you, so to say, it is the thought that arises first, and the body complies with that thought in the way of committing an act. We call this analysis the examination of nama and rupa. Nama rupa refers to the thinking process, and rupa refers to your body, where the mind and body here. I would like to bring to your notice that in the creation of a thought, there are five mental factors which perform their task in creating the thought. These are product of the consciousness. There are six places where thoughts are created. The six places are your eyes, your nose, your tongue, your ears, your body and mind. They are the places where thoughts are created. To get a proper idea of how this creation is done, let us take an example of the eye seeing something. Your eye is in a good condition to see. There is an object before the eye to see. When the eye contacts the object gets reflected in the retina of the eye. When that reflection takes place, that's the signal given to the consciousness to appear. Now, there are three things appearing there at that stage. There is the eye, there is the visual object which has been reflected in the retina of the eye, and the eye consciousness has arrived there. Consciousness, of course, is a thought force. You name that as consciousness when it is reacting to objects received by the six sense bases, and you identify this consciousness with a specific name, and that is when the consciousness is named by the sense base connected with it acts. Now there are things there. There is the eye, there is the object of vision, and there is the consciousness. Consciousness is pure mental energy. It cannot by itself create a thought. It can create a thought when it produces the five mental factors. They are, passa means contact, vedana means feeling, sanya means perception, volitional activity means sankhara, and there is attention, manasikara. These are the five mental factors. In the middle discourses, in the Samma Aditya Sutta, these five mental factors, which are contact, feeling, perception, volition, and attention, they are called nama. And the rupa refers to the four elements. Element of solidity, element of liquidity, element of heat, and element of motion. These are the four elements, and those are rupa. Namas refers to the five mental factors. Passa, vedana, sanya, chetana, manasikara. Now you have a clear definition of what nama is and what rupa is. Nama normally refers to the mind. Rupa refers to the body. Now how do you analyze these, the functions of these two? It is clear in Buddhist philosophy that thought is the forerunner of all activities. All actions committed by the body are directed by the mind. Unless a thought occurs and directs the mind, the body does not act. The body by itself cannot do anything except to breathe. That's the only activity by the body. Only the activities committed by the body are as directed by the mind. Then you watch. How do you watch? Watch the activities. In regard to a proper understanding of nama and rupa, or mind and matter, you must not just sit and think. It's more in activity that you learn this clearly, to differentiate these two clearly. Walk about. There is first the mind arising, walk. Then you find the body reacting to that, you are walking. When you are walking, you examine carefully. You watch the feet. You raise one leg and place it before. Then you ask the question, whose is this? The mind. Mind is observing the movement of the leg. And that movement has been directed by the mind. Likewise, in all activities, say you hear a noise, a thought arises of having heard it. You must be able to differentiate mind and matter. As I told you, the best way to do it is in moment. It's not something very deep. It's something which you can see for yourself. This mind and matter reacting to each other. Now, what is the education, or what is the development that takes place in you in identifying the mind and the matter so clearly, and their relationship to each other? You under false concept believe. What is that? That there was a being in you. And it is the being that directs you to walk, it is the being that directs you to sit, it is the being that directs you to stand, it is the being that directs you to sleep. All these activities are committed according to the false concept you have created earlier, the being that is in you. But when you analyze the activities of the body and the mind directs the body to perform activities, and the mind and the body reacts to such direction and perform the activity, you will find that there is no being as such. That's a false belief. There is only direction given by the mind, and the body acted in that direction, for that direction. That's all. You convince yourself that there is no being as such, that all your activities committed by the body are as directed by the mind. And you observe this carefully in movement and not sitting, just sitting and thinking about it. Mind movement, because you can see clearly then in a practical way, in a more impressive manner, that there is no person as such. Here is the movement take place,
Why did the movement take place? Because the mind directed that movement. If you are seated somewhere, you stand. You analyze, why did I stand? Oh, mind directed the body to stand. Reason may be something. Maybe a pain in the leg. Maybe that you want to change your position. Anything like that. But it is the body, it is the mind that has directed the body to act in that manner. You must bear in mind that there is nothing the body can do except breathing. We have all its activities are as a result of the direction given by the mind. And you analyze that. And you are now satisfied, having made such an analysis of all your activities, that there is no person inside you who performs these activities, but it is the mind that directs the body to perform these acts. Very clear. A simple exercise. Then to convince you further, you analyze the activities also as cause and effect. As cause and effect. If you are seated, then you get up. You ask the reason, why did you get up? Because the mind directed the body to get up. Why did the body get up? On the direction by the mind. To get over the pain that it was suffering from. There are always, you can clearly indicate, find out, it's nothing complicated, that there is always a cause for the activity of the body. So the cause is the mind. Activity committed by the body. These two things carefully observed by you convinces you that there is no person in you as such, except that these activities are committed by the body and directed by the mind. These are the two exercises that we perform for that purpose of getting rid of this sakkaya ditti. What are they? Examination of the activities of the body and finding out and realizing that it's all directed by the mind. Then all activities are the effect of a cause. Maybe the mind has given a directive to the body and that body committed that act as a result of the mind directing the body. Mind becomes the cause and the body's bodily activity becomes the effect. This is how you clearly analyze it. Therefore, analysis of this type, body and mind activities, must be done while in motion. While you are moving, it's more convincing then. Instead of thinking that the body directs the mind to get up, when you get up and then see, who directed me to get up? It's the mind that directed me to get up. So convincingly satisfy yourself that there is no being as such in you, except that you are, that your body is directed by the mind to commit certain acts. That directly attacks the sakkaya ditti, the false belief that you have that there is a being in you. Who created these five grasping groups? Where did the five grasping groups originate? It's in the mind itself. In the thought itself, the five grasping groups occurred. For instance, you saw something. And you saw something because you create the thought to see. In that thought you created, there are the five mental factors which was put into operation by the consciousness to create the thought. And these very mental factors created this false belief in you that there is a being in you. Very mental factors. Contact or created the form within you as the owner of this personality of this person in you. Personality. And on this personality you have the appreciating feeling, perception, the ability to identify a thing. Committing sankara, then you have the right, you have the ability to commit an act in the way of seeing, hearing, smelling, all these things are done as acts committed by you. And also, attention is a development of the mind in the way of giving you promptings immediately when it requires. You are prompted to do this. You are led to do this, that sort of thing. This manasikara is doing that. Without going to so much details, you just believe the fact that if I grasping groups create this false picture of a person in you, false belief of a person in you, who created the five grasping groups? What are the five grasping groups? Five grasping groups are the very mental factors that help to create a thought in connection with your eye, ear, nose, body, mind and tongue. So with these things observed by you very carefully, closely, and given thought to in your analysis of how these things happen, you will have sufficient proof to satisfy yourself that there is no being in you. And to arrive at that conclusion, two things helped you. That is, all activities are committed as a result to the directions given by the mind. One. The other is cause and effect. Now you are convinced there is no being in you. Where is the body and the mind? The mind prompts the body to act and the body reacts to that direction by the mind. In regard to the other two fetters like doubt and belief in extremes of practices, those two things, there is nothing to practice as such to get rid of them. You get rid of them automatically in reaching the first stage of stream entry. That the developed mind sees through that there is no doubt about the triple gem, about the important aspects of Dhamma. The development within you has cleared that doubt. Take for example, the belief in a person, now that has been completely removed by you as a result of observing all your activities by the body and seeing to yourself and observing to yourself that all such activities are committed as a result of the promptings given by the mind. So that doubt is cleared. With the attainment, doubt is cleared. As you attain stream entry, no doubt. Doubt is cleared because you are thoroughly convinced that the philosophy preached by Buddha is true. Then in regard to the pursuit of different practices to the extremes, that also, there is nothing for you to practice. With the development arising in you, in reaching the stage of stream entry, the dawning of wisdom clears all that. There is no necessity for you to do anything extra to get that out of you. But the question is, whether such education by itself is sufficient for you to enter the stream? No. Your maturity in the realization of the truth, what is that truth? Truth of impermanence? Truth of unsatisfactory nature of things? And the truth of non-cognitive or soullessness must develop within you to a height. After all, what is the wisdom that you are perceiving to develop in yourself? The wisdom that you are perceiving to develop in yourself is nothing but the wisdom of impermanence, wisdom of unsatisfactory nature of things, and the wisdom of soullessness. These are the three wisdoms that you are searching to develop within you and perfect them. And the stream entry, you have to develop these three to a height. In the impermanence, there is this unsatisfactory nature of things and the soullessness. Therefore, if one practices impermanence, he automatically develops himself with the knowledge, with regard to the knowledge he has about the other two. So, concentrate on the impermanence. Now, once you have got rid of those fetters as I described earlier, you begin to now analyze, understand and realize impermanence. There is impermanence everywhere. In all your activities, in the body you carry, in all your thinking, and everything around you, there is impermanence. But you have to watch that impermanence, befitting the development of the stream entry in you. That's the essential thing. It's not a full development of impermanent, but the development that befits the stream entry. That's the basic development within you. In certain cases, just to convince them, what we do is give them an object to see through carefully, analyze that object carefully, and in the activity of that object, you will see the impermanence, so that that becomes a clear object for it to observe and develop the knowledge of impermanence within him. For example, let's say breathing in and out. If one is rather blunt, rather dull in catching the impermanence everywhere, we say, right, observe this activity of the breathing, breathing in and breathing out. When you go on breathing in and breathing out, that exercise, you find impermanence there, impermanence. Breathing in, constant change taking place, breathing out, constant change taking place. You go on observing this. Then, brothers and sisters, when your wisdom has reached that height of maturity, there must be an automatic development within you, carrying your mind to a higher level of understanding and realization. And that's the fruition stage of your entry into the stream. Fruition stage, you call it. And in the Pali, we call it Samapatti. How does this fruition take place? We always ask the question, was there a development in your mind to a higher state when you analyze in this arising and passing away? For those who have experienced that clearly, they say, yes, when I started arising and passing, my mind developed to a higher state. And for the person to realize that he has reached that maturity of understanding, that fruition, he will describe what he experienced at that stage. Then we know exactly that he has reached that stage of maturity to enter into the stream. It is just not merely carrying you up to a point like that, but reaches a point when the realization matures in you. And with that description, we come to the conclusion that he or she has entered the stream. Therefore, your analysis of the anicca, dukkha, anatta, or anicca itself, you call that udaya vijnana. Udaya means udaya vaya, ativim and ativim, arising and passing away, arising and passing away. That is udaya vijnana. Arising and passing away, arising and passing away. When observing this arising and passing away, your mind must carry you to a higher level of realization when the fusion takes place. If you ask me the question, how is it that it occurs in that way? Brothers and sisters, that is why you are expected to practice this one-pointedness earlier. In practicing one-pointedness, you enter the first absorption. The second is higher than the first absorption. The third is higher than the first absorption. And the fourth, you reach a state of tranquility, where the mind is in a condition to realize the truth. And in this analysis of vipassana, analysis of the rising and passing away by you as a subject of meditation, to develop your udaya vijnana, rising and passing away knowledge, as you go on analyzing, seeing through this rising and passing away, rising and passing away, then you will find the mind develops to a higher state, where the fruition of your samadhi takes place. And that's a specific incident taking place there, was in various ways. But to a person who has gone through it, when he described that, we know that he has reached that height. We don't just believe what you say. To analyze that further or to convince us further, we say, right, if you have realized that, go and sit for some time, develop your arising and passing away again, that meditation. No. We say, you sit and quietly take a decision that if I have reached the fruition stage of stream entry, let that experience I went through occur to me again for about 10 minutes. And when he goes and sits down, he takes the decision, if I have entered the fruition stage of stream entry, let me enjoy this fruition samadhi for 10 minutes. And we advise him not to commit any act, but just to watch the mind, what happens to the mind. On the decision he has taken, and he go on watching the mind, you find the mind suddenly develops itself to a higher degree, transcends itself to a higher degree. And again, the same condition you experience in the fruition of your stream entry occurs again to him. And he can live in that for 10 minutes as decided by him, as determined by him. and it comes down automatically. You can repeat that performance not once, twice, thrice, the whole day if you wish to. And that's a clear indication that you have attained. Just coming and telling, I have attained the stream entry, I have done this, I have done that, that is no proof. After all, you have to satisfy your own conscience. This is the path. And when you go along the path, brothers and sisters, there must be definite, concrete developments in you reaching yourself to a higher stage. Every step you take. Instead of just doing, oh, I am this, I am that, and getting one to believe what you say, oh, that is not the thing. You convince yourself, not anybody, not the teacher, you convince yourself. It is to convince yourself that we asked you to perform this activity again. Only on a resolution you are taking. If I have attained the fruition stage of samadhi and attained my stream entry, let me enjoy the blessings of this fruition samadhi. 10 minutes. And you take that decision and keep quiet and watch your mind. The mind will develop itself, carries you to a height when you experience the same thing you experienced earlier. And you can repeat that performance many times. The entire day you can live it if you wish to. That is the test we make to find out whether you have exactly reached that developed stage of mind. During Buddha's time, Buddha never went after every one of them, wherever they go, to find out whether they have entered the first stage or second stage or third stage. These are the steps they take. Only Buddha appears at a place where there is some misdirection or other, and give the advice as to how he should direct himself in the correct way. One example is where that wealthy person who entered the robes, he was so wealthy that he did not do any work with his hands, and he said that his hands was very, very soft and his legs were also very soft feet, because he had been leading a very comfortable life. He had been so enthusiastic about attainment. He went on pacing up and down, up and down, up and down. Ultimately, there was bleeding in the sole of his feet. Then he started crawling on all fours. His arms also started bleeding. Then he reached a stage when he found it difficult to carry on. And now he was pondering whether to stay in the robes or get out. Buddha, of course, with his psychic eye, saw this condition and appeared there, not physically, but in a vision, and asked, "What are you thinking?" And the priest said, I have given up hopes of attainment. I have tried my best, first walking up and down, pacing, to develop my meditation. When my feet began to bleed, I started crawling. Now I have bleeding injuries on my hands and on my knees and on my feet. And I am so fed up with this, I have decided to give up my robes. Then Buddha asked him, "You are a person in your lay life who has a great liking for the playing of your violin. You are the violinist." "Yes, yes, I like it very much. I am skilled in that art." Then Buddha asked, "For instance, if you want to prepare your violin to produce music, would you tighten the strings hard?" "No, if I tighten the strings hard, they would break." That was the reply he gave to Buddha. "Did you keep them loose?" "If I keep them loose, I can't play the violin." "So what do you do?" "I tighten the strings up to a point when it can produce the music, and also when it will not break. Up to that point I can tighten, and when I tighten the strings up to that point, I produce good music." Ah, that is, apply the same rule to yourself. Here you have tightened your strings and the strings are broken. You have done too much. Your effort is too much. Go the middle way. Neither relax or neither put in a very, very big effort. You also must learn a lesson out of this. Don't think I have 2 more days to go there, I must become arahat and go home. You can't easily become an arahat. There are people who are expecting to become an arahat. 1 month, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, arahat. I want to go home and arahat. You can't. It may be that such people may take years to attain that height because they are too overambitious. This is a path that you have to plot very carefully. After all, you bear a character. Your character does not fit in to be an arahat within 2 weeks. Your character only fits in to be an arahat after 1 year or 2 years of experience. Don't try to become an arahat overnight. None can do that. There were instances during Buddha's time who have reached a very high stage of development in their previous birth. Therefore, merely hearing the doctrine preached by Buddha, they attained. But today, I think it's not an easy task. You have to be patient. You have to walk slowly, go slowly. Step by step, step by step, step by step for your attainment. And those who wish to become arahat within 1 week, I ask them to get back home and become arahat anywhere else. I can't make them arahats. You see, those who wish to go slowly, let them be here. Maybe 1 month, maybe 2 months, maybe 3 months, maybe 4 months. How can I say that? No one can predict what your attainment will be within 1 month or 2 months or 3 months or 4 months. This is, we are going along a road where there is no clear path before us, indicating this is the milestone, this is that. The path is clear, certainly. Where your development is concerned is entirely left to you because you are different characters. Your previous lives, you see, they have some bearing on your present life. There are karmic forces also reacting against you. Also, your beliefs and your practices and your habits, views, those have direct effect on your development. Therefore, no one can give you any assurance. I tell you frankly, you have come here to practice and I shall do my best to guide you along the lines. You have to very patiently go through these things, not expecting to be arahats overnight. That cannot be done by anybody. But we have sure results. We have results of those people who have practiced this method and developed along the path to reach that height which they expected. We have enough results. And there's no doubt about the path you have to follow. Instructions are clear and you proceed carefully, that's all. Don't be over enthusiastic. Don't expect results overnight. Patiently go along. And if you are impatient, well, I say I'm unable to help you, you can help yourself anywhere you wish to. That is the path we have to follow, brothers and sisters. After all, you have been leading a worldly life with various types of views, various types of beliefs in you, various types of habits which you have created in your life, various types of malpractices you may have committed. And overnight, one cannot pull all these things out of your mind and say, I'm going to make this heart a very crystal clear one tonight. Impossible. That's an impossibility. You yourself must make the effort to clear them. Buddha never cleared another man's heart and made a crystal clear one. He gave the instruction to the devotee, you follow this path. And if you follow this path carefully, you will clear your heart of all these defilements. And that is the path he showed. Therefore, be patient. Step by step, clear the defilements out of you. To be a stream enterer, you have only to have the lay down the foundation necessary for such entry. And that is your virtue, samadhi, and wisdom. After that, you take direct action to get rid of the defilement that affect you. We are giving you instructions positively as to how you should get rid of these defilements. And you practice accordingly and you will get rid of the defilements. After all, these are all your imagination and your views and what you have planted in your mind. Now you are realistically understanding that they are all false concepts, beliefs, bad habits, So you can pull them out one by one, one by one, one by one. Effectively, if you follow a clear instructions as to how they should be done, that of course Buddha has clearly given all of us. So we must be patient, brothers and sisters. And I assure you, this is a clear path shown by Buddha. He said there is only one defilement in you that you must get rid of. There are many defilements in you, but the most effective one is desire. Desire is the thing that pushes your mind from one birth to another. And he clearly shows you four things that you have to do in the clearing, in getting that out of you. And if you practice those four things, he assures you that you will attain Nibbana in 7 days. And that's a promise given by Buddha. So, it all depends upon the effort you make. And just not just live in imagination. Just not live in hopes. Because no one can gift you Nibbana. Nibbana is a thing that you have to create yourself. And it is within you. You clear your mind of all the false views and other defilements that you possess, and then Nibbana will dawn to you then. From within, not from anywhere else. Therefore, brothers and sisters, now you know how to achieve the first stage, getting rid of the so-called defilement, three defilements of Sakkayaditti, believing in a false, having a false view of a person living in you, being in you, Sakkayaditti, pertaining to your body, pertaining to your form, that's the owner of that form, the false belief that you have of a person in you, Sakkayaditti. Then the other two things are doubt and pursuit of practices to the extremes. Those two things I told you would get it off immediately with your attainment. Then what you have to practice is to get that development within you, to experience the samapatti which dawns to you, the wisdom befitting the stream enterer, is the development of arising and passing away, arising and passing away, arising and passing away. That is the wisdom that you have to develop. It is the same wisdom that you would be developing in the second stage of development. That's also arising and passing away. That will lead you to the fruition. The same wisdom you have to develop again at the third stage of non-returner, there are two arising and passing, and the arising and passing away fruition stage will make you to enter the third stage. And the fourth stage of arhatut that you have to practice the same thing, arising and passing, when you fully understand what is impermanence, what is unsatisfactory nature of things, and what is soulless. Like that of Buddha. You too become a Buddha, and not Samma, Sambuddha. Samma, Sambuddha is Buddha who has on his own realized the truth and preached to the world the truth. But you have followed Buddha's instructions and attained that height, and now you have become a Buddha. So may you all attain Buddhahood. May you all attain Nibbana. Be patient. Patiently carry out the instructions. Don't expect things to happen overnight. All that happens in you will be the result of your effort and nobody else's. I may instruct you in 1001 ways, but such instructions will have effect on you only if you carry out those instructions accordingly. If you on your own think and go on thinking and imagining, that will not help you at all, brothers and sisters. Therefore, this is the practice, because you are not doing just planting something in your mind. You are completely cleaning your mind of all the debris, of all the unnecessary things that you have harbored and nurtured in this mind of yours. Clearing them. There is no way to do it. You can't introduce your hand into a chest and clear the mind and with soap and water. This is something which you have to do with your own way of thinking. If you do the correct thinking, the right way, then all the wrong that you have done to your mind in the way of thinking the wrong way, that all gets completely washed out as a result of clear thinking, and the clear thinking will lead you to the fruition state. So may you all attain Nibbana. Thank you very much.